In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now there's many different ways to preach a homily. It might be catechetical and teach some of the doctrines of the faith. It might be exhortative and encourage the faithful to virtue, or it might be moral and reprimand sin. Or it might be exegetical, that is, its interpretation of Scripture in light of the Church's understanding of the Scripture passage. As you know, Father Kirby is proficient in all of these areas, and in particular, he is very good with his scripture, his knowledge of scripture, and his knowledge of jokes. So while I can't promise you the same quality of scriptural exegesis or jokes that you're used to, I can at least promise you that the homily will be under 20 minutes. So we hear this story today about St. Joseph, and it can often be subject to some possible discrepancies or misunderstanding. A common interpretation, based on a quick reading, seems to be that St. Joseph happens upon Our Lady, notices, finds out that she's pregnant, and knowing that it's not his child, assumes that she's been unfaithful to him. And then he would have been required by the Mosaic law to turn her into the religious authorities, and the penalty would have been stoning. But the text says that he is a righteous man, and so this interpretation would say that in order to prevent her from being stoned, he decided to divorce her quietly, to put her away quietly, as some translations say, in order so that she would not have to undergo this penalty. And then the angel comes and says, this child is from God, and do not be afraid to take Our Lady into your home. Now, as I mentioned, this is a common interpretation, and it's not wrong, and it seems reasonable enough if you're reading the Gospel of Matthew. However, there are other interpretations which the Church approves of, and that, in at least my own opinion, I think better portray for us a vision of St. Joseph and Our Lady. And so I will go ahead and present another interpretation for your consideration. Firstly, if Joseph is a just and righteous man, as the text says, he would have followed the law exactly, because this is what one who is just and righteous would do. They would follow the law. And so despite the fact that it would have been bad for Our Lady, if he assumed that she was unfaithful and was a just man, he would have followed the law and turned her into the religious authorities. So that's the first point. The second thing is that the first interpretation is based completely on the Joseph's understanding that Mary was unfaithful to him. Now, obviously she wasn't, but in order for this interpretation to work, Joseph had to assume that she had been unfaithful. Now, for us in our modern mind, this might not seem that radical, as every movie and TV show and song seems to have some type of unfaithfulness or adultery in it. But we're talking about the holiest lady who has ever walked on the face of the earth, and one of the holiest men who have ever walked on the face of this earth. Traditionally, there are Mary and Joseph statues placed on either side of the sanctuary. And here you can see we have Our Lady and St. Joseph both on both sides of the sanctuary. This is because of their closeness to God. Holiness means closeness to God. And so in order for one of the holiest men on earth to assume that the holiest lady had fallen into some unfaithfulness after a life of never having sinned is somewhat of a discrepancy. It seems not very reasonable. It's more likely that he would have assumed, knowing the scriptures, that she was the fulfillment of the prophecy of what we heard in the first reading, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It would be a more likely interpretation for Saint Joseph, in his purity of mind, to assume the best of Our Lady, to assume that she had been this fulfillment. She had grown up in the temple, she had been preserved from the world, she had never sinned. And so he would have taken this charitable interpretation of her. And then we also should probably take a charitable interpretation of Joseph. And as opposed to what might be a temptation for us in our modern mind to simply accuse and see the untrustworthiness of other people and stuff. We should see Joseph as one of the holiest men, as not having this somewhat doubtful and untrusting manner, but rather seeking to uphold the dignity of Our Lady. What this second interpretation I'm presenting indicates is that Saint Joseph didn't act, that is, he didn't try and separate himself from Our Lady, as we hear, out of a fear of her unfaithfulness, but rather out of a fear of the Lord. You see, he would have recognized, as I mentioned, that she would have been the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, and that there is a great mystery happening within Our Lady. Emmanuel, God is with us. So rather than fearing Mary's unfaithfulness, it would be more in accord with the holiness of Saint Joseph that he was fearing the Lord, the mystery of the Lord present within her. Now, this second interpretation teaches us to respond to the great mysteries of the Catholic faith in the way that Saint Joseph did. And if he responded in fear of the Lord by receding from Our Lady, this is also how we should act in relation to the sacred mysteries of our faith. So as rather than opposing or assuming he had the right to Our Lady, rather than assuming that he had a right to take this great mystery into his own home, Saint Joseph took a posture of humility and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." His action to separate himself wasn't based on an assumption that Mary was unclean or unworthy, but rather that he was unclean or unworthy of so great a mystery. And as I said, this should be our approach to the sacred mysteries as well. The word mystery comes from the Greek, and the word sacrament comes from the Latin, but they mean the same thing. So we could say the seven sacraments of the church are the seven mysteries of the church, these great and beautiful mysteries. And Joseph shows us how we should approach these sacraments, these mysteries. When we think of a mystery, we often think of something which is unsolvable, or at least not yet solved. Or, you know, we say it's a mystery to me. But the word, specifically the way we use it in the Catholic Church, indicates not necessarily something which is impossible to know or impossible to solve, but something which is so great and high and lofty that it's above us and above our ability to know it. It requires humility to say that something is above our own ability. Rocket science, for example, is above my ability to know, but that doesn't mean it's unknowable in itself, because certain rocket scientists know it. But we have to have this humility to say, no, I don't know that. I can't accept, or I can't fully comprehend that. And God is a mystery in the sense that he's so great and so high and so magnificent that we can't completely comprehend him. And we have to have this humility in order to say that, in order to recognize how great he is. Now, we can know certain things about him, but we can't fully understand him. So this recognition should cause us to lower ourselves, humble ourselves before his divine majesty. In the same way that one might have a respectful fear of the majestic mountains or the powerful ocean, because we can't control them, we can't comprehend or understand them, so too we should have a respectful fear of the Most High God, who is so great and so powerful that he's beyond our ability to comprehend. And so we must have a proper preparation before approaching these great sacraments, these great mysteries. We must, like Saint Joseph, have a proper humility and a proper fear of the Lord and acknowledge that we're sinners, unworthy of approaching these mysteries. Even at the beginning of Holy Mass, the Eucharist being the greatest of all these mysteries, the Blessed Sacrament, the priest says, "As we prepare to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins. Let us recognize in fear, reverence, and humility that we are sinners, unworthy of the gift that is offered to us." This is the type of fear I propose that Saint Joseph had before Our Lady and the great mystery of the Incarnation present within her. And this is the type of fear that we should have before we approach the sacraments. We do not assume that we have a right to receive the Blessed Sacrament. We do not assume that we have a right to walk into the church and ignore the Blessed Sacrament, or talk and go about our business as if this is any other room in the building. We do not assume that we have a right to walk into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place on earth, as if there wasn't a great mystery, the greatest of all mysteries, present in the tabernacle. The church building is the representation of Our Lady. The sanctuary, the tabernacle, is the representation of her womb. And we should have, like Saint Joseph, a holy fear and take a humble position in respect to these at all times. Like Saint Joseph, however, we're also called to participate in these mysteries. Joseph first receded out of humility and a respectful fear of the great mystery. However, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for take Mary into your home. God is calling you, unworthy though you are, to assist in his divine plan. It is the will of God that you participate in this great mystery of the Incarnation." He calls us, too, to participate in the sacraments of the church in different ways. He calls his priests, unworthy though they are, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to be the minister of the Blessed Sacrament, to hear confessions and the other sacraments. He calls some, unworthy though they are, to assist the priests, such as the deacon or the servers or the lectors, at the Holy Mass. He calls all of us who profess the Catholic faith to worship him in the Holy Mass and to receive him in the Blessed Sacrament. We do not approach the altar to receive him, assuming that we have a right to receive him, as if we've made ourselves worthy of this great mystery. But we approach with humility, recognizing that he died on the cross for us in order that we might participate. We approach knowing that he has made us worthy, not we ourselves, but that he has made us worthy through his death and resurrection to participate in these incredible mysteries, which should cause us an even greater sense of humility and fear of the Lord. We receive him as Saint Joseph received Our Lady and Our Lord into his home, with humility and with fear of the Lord. So reflection on this gospel passage and this particular interpretation not only leads us to a greater respect and upholding a greater dignity of the greatest saints in heaven, but it also teaches us these virtues of humility and of fear of the Lord. So let us take Saint Joseph and Our Lady as our exemplars and imitate these virtues. Let us approach the great mystery of the Incarnation next week that we'll celebrate at Christmas with reverence and with awe. And let us approach him today and every day in the Blessed Sacrament with humility and respectful fear that Saint Joseph had, and with the profound words, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed."